Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hey, folks, this is Kevin. Just a few words before we start. Well, listen, our big Keep Risk Running fundraiser has come to an end, and we raised just short of $20,000. I just want to say that we are overwhelmed with gratitude to our fans. From the very beginning, it's consistently been surprising the way that the fans have contributed to the show and helped shape the show. In the beginning, we started getting a lot of bands sending us music, and the lyrics to the songs actually helped to refine and shape the philosophy of the show. And very shortly after that, we started getting emails from fans with suggestions on other new things we might try or how we might improve this or that. Obviously, we've had a ton of fans pitch us stories and appear on the show itself. There's been the way that people are sharing the show with their friends by spreading the word over Twitter and Facebook. It's just been very moving, the emotion, the energy, and the passion that people have for the show. So come hell or high water, we're going to keep it going. I just have to express our deepest gratitude. Thank you for your support. Now here's the show. Kids, this is Extra Risk, where we give you just a little bit more of the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison. That was Worm Burner with John Sonderricker up top, and this is Botany behind me now. Today on the show, we're going to feature a story by the remarkable Gil Ozeri. Gil is an extremely active member of the Upright Citizens Brigade community. He's a teacher there. He's been in two of their most talked about groups associated with the theater, the sketch group Hot Sauce and the improv group Death by Ruru. And he's just done a ton of stuff. He's been on SNL, Jimmy Fallon, Conan. A lot of his telephone pranks you can hear at iknowgil.com. Anyway, Gil told this story at the Los Angeles Risk show that we do at the Nerd Melt Theater once a month. Our next show at Nerd Melt is on November 22nd, 2011. We will have Margaret Cho, Jackie Cation, Kevin Avery, and Curtis Quinn. So don't miss that November 22nd. And now here he is, Gil Ozeri, with a story we call Men Without Hats.
I grew up in Queens in New York, and I was very tiny until senior year in high school when I got my growth spurt. I was about 4'11", like ridiculously short, and very measly, very weak. I hated dealing with any type of fight or any kind of confrontation. When someone would step up to me, I would just immediately back down like an embarrassed dog. And that's people use that, right? Like an embarrassed dog. So in any case, I was very weak. A few examples. I was a mathlete in high school, which is like an athlete. That's what they call athletes on the math team. It's actually more demeaning than just saying you're on the math team. I was the manager of my bowling team because I could not make it onto the bowling team, so I had to be the manager. Another small example of like me being not physical at all is I was on the cross country track team for maybe a week and a half. I got kicked off because the coach said that I didn't know how to run. He said I basically ran without moving my arms. I would run like this and I could not synchronize my arms. So I got kicked off the team. I tried to just join just so I could put something on my college application. So that was me back in high school. Now, I went to a high school filled with other people who were exactly like me, like super nerdy high school. It was like a humanities arts kind of school that you had to get a specific average in. That's not bragging. That's like an embarrassment of who was like there. Everyone was like super nerdy. About a week before the Halloween that I'm about to tell you this story about, I was walking to the bus stop with one of my friends. Me and him had been friends from elementary school. I went to Solomon Schechter Elementary School, so just giving you examples of what I was like. So we were walking to this bus stop, and about 10 feet in front of us was this kid, Samir Patel, who was an acquaintance of mine, or just like another student who went to the school, also very small. And the only interaction I've ever had with this kid was he sat behind me. My last name is Ozeri. He sat behind me in Spanish class. And one time in Spanish class, I farted. And when everyone like turned around and looked at me, I immediately just blamed it on him. That was our entire interaction in high school. So we were walking to the bus stop, and he's 10 feet in front of me, and I see these three kids come up to him in hoodies and ski masks. Now, this is 1993, so like everyone had a fucking ski mask. If you wanted to kick the shit, it was like because at that time, like Wu-Tang Clan was like the biggest thing. It was like a requisite to kick somebody's ass was to wear a ski mask. So these three kids approach him, take out a butterfly knife, and me and my friend see this, and we look at each, we give each other like a look, and then we immediately, or like, are we gonna do this? And we immediately turn and just walk away from him and just leave him with this guy. And I had no moral guilt about it. I was like giggling on the way home, like, we just got away, yeah, baby. The next day we like found out he got like his like pants cut and he got mugged and he like had to walk home with like holding his pants together and he had like his fingers broken. It was awful, but that was me. And I was totally comfortable with it. So about a week later, it was Halloween. Now in Queens in Halloween, like everyone stays at home from school because you just get the shit kicked out of you if you like come to school. People just want to beat the, that's like what they do in Queens on Halloween. And especially my school, just to give you one tiny example, like in sophomore year, the next year, this girl was tied to a lamppost. Her head was shaved, and they beat the shit out of her with ice, like that was on the ground. So that was like, it was legitimately scary. So I stayed home from school on Halloween, and I stayed home the entire day, and that night my mom was working late, and my dad, who's a photographer, was traveling, so he was out of the country. And I decided to walk to 7-Eleven, which was like a block from my house. So I was like, you know what? It's only a block from my house. It's totally fine. So I start walking to 7-Eleven. And let me just give you a lowdown of what I was wearing at the time. I was, this 1993, decked out in starter gear. Like, that's what I was with. It was a uniform of starter gear. I had a huge Vancouver Canucks, like, down jacket. And I had, like, JNCO jeans. and a fucking like UNC game hat from like just got from Lids. Like I was like so fucking excited about this hat. It was like my favorite hat. And I was just like, that's what I was wearing. It was kind of like a uniform. So I walked to 7-Eleven, totally fine, got a Slurpee, and I walked out. And as soon as I walked out, it almost felt like this weird like mist came out and just glided across the air. And I look to my left and I see three kids, almost looking exactly the same. They have ski masks on and hoodies, but they're on bikes. They're on bikes and they are heading towards me. So right away I have like a tiny Jewish heart attack. I turn around and I'm just gonna walk away. So I start walking away just like, don't fucking pay attention. No, they don't give a shit about you. Who cares? You're small. So I keep walking and maybe after like 20 feet, I say to myself, okay, it's probably okay if you turn around and check if they're still there at this point. So I turn around and they're like directly behind me. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And so I keep walking, put my head down, and I just hear, yo. And I do not move. I just keep walking and I hear louder, yo. Yo, you don't hear me, son? And I'm like, oh my God. And I turn around, I'm like, And they surround me with their BMX bikes, and they say to me, and one of them, I'll never forget this, says to me, yo, you got shitty ears. And I was like, okay. So they come up to me, and then he goes, all I wanted to know was the time. I need the time. And I was like, and then he goes, look at your watch. And if someone says to you, look at your watch in this situation, you know you're about to get fucked up. It's basically the equivalent of someone saying, if your hand is bigger than your face, you have AIDS. And then you doing that, and then they slam your fucking hand into your face. So I'm like, oh, it's 14 o'clock. You know, like I look down just to like, you know, placate them. And as soon as I do, I feel like a poof, like right on the back of my head. And one of the kids punches me and I fall to the ground. And I'm like totally woozy. And right away, the guy grabs my UNC cap and they all take off on their bike. And I'm just sitting there on the ground. I don't know really what's going on. And I look up, and over to my left is this like crazy looking fucking figure. And he is like walking over to me like this old monster. And he like comes in, and he starts to come into sight. And it's this old man. He's about 70 years old, and he's like decked out in khaki, just like a fucking khaki jacket, khaki pants, khaki, like khaki fucking hair. He's just like totally fucking khaki. And he has like these mangled fingers. He looked like he had like rheumatoid since he was like 4 years old, arthritis. And he's just like comes over to me like walking, and he says, are you okay? I saw what happened to you. Those kids stole your cap. And I was like, oh, I was like, what? I didn't know how to react to this guy because I was still hurt from the punch. And he said cap. He was like that old. And he said, and I go, oh, it's okay, sir, it's okay. I still at that point did not want to like do anything about it. And he goes, no, it's not okay. And I go, And he goes, I'm going to get your hat back. And I was like, oh my, I had no idea. I was like, what the fuck? And he gets into this white Cadillac that's parked in front of 7-Eleven. He gets in, he rolls the window down, and he says, don't move. I'll be back in 5 minutes with your hat. I was like, okay. And he gets into the car. He's in the car. He steps on the gas and whoosh, he takes off after them, top speed after these three kids. And I'm standing there and I'm like, I still woozy. And I'm like, oh my God, should I wait for this guy? Like, what is he even gonna come back? So I decide to wait just because he was so weirdly nice. I'm like, why does this fuck even care about me? I wait 5 minutes. He does not show up. 10 minutes, doesn't come back. 15 minutes, he's still not back. I'm like, I'm just gonna wait like another like 10 minutes, and if he doesn't come back, I'm just gonna walk home. After 25 minutes, he still didn't show up, so I start heading towards my house, and I get maybe half a block, and I see this white Cadillac careening up the fucking street, and he pulls over immediately, like right next to me, and he gets out of the car, and I swear to God, he is covered in blood. Just like his fucking hands are just like dripping blood. He's got blood. He looks maniacal. And he's like, "Oh!" And I'm like, "Oh my God, what happened?" He's like, "They slashed me. They slashed me." And I'm like, "Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no." I'm like, "What do I do?" He's like, "Go get help, get help." So I run into 7-Eleven. I'm like, "I'm tired, I'm old." You know, just like crazed, like 13 years old, scared out of my mind. The guy's like, "Get the fuck out of here." He like doesn't want anything to do with me. And I'm like begging, "Please, he's outside." I explain it more. He follows me outside and we head towards the Cadillac and the guy's missing. He's like not there, but his car is there. And I'm like, "Oh my God, what the fuck happened?" So we're looking for him. It turns out he like tried to get to 7-Eleven and fell near the dumpster. And he's got like blood all over his like shirt and his hands, and he's still fucking in this like khaki superhero's outfit. And I'm like, "Oh my God, we have to call the like ambulance." So we call, and the EMT comes, and they like get him up on the stretcher. And the guy's asking me, he's like, "What happened?" And I was right there, and he's like, "Tell me what happened, sir. Tell me what happened." He's like, "Well, I got out, and I ran after them, and I approached, I tried to approach the kid." And then he looks at me for a second and looks back at the EMT and he goes, "And then I fell." And the guy had lied to me. And he said, "My shoes were too big and I fell on the ground." So apparently he like ran after the kid and like tried to stop. He like fell and tried to stop himself with his hands and like just like his hands just started bleeding because he had fallen on the sidewalk. And I was like, this fucking stupid old man. And I it was just sad, but very it like taught me like just I was like very comfortable after that point with how I dealt with confrontation. I didn't care that I was a mathlete because it always ends up stupidly. Thank you very much.
It's not so easy waking up today, even though you've got it all planned.
That's all for now. Do not forget that on November 22nd, 2011, we are at the Nerd Melt Theater in Los Angeles. Margaret Cho, Jackie Cation, Kevin Avery, Curtis Gwynn, and Kumail Nanjiani. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, in New York at our school, the Story Studio, we have a one-day workshop on Sunday. That's November 20th. Find out more at thestorystudio.org. The second Risk All-Star episode will be available on iTunes in the albums section. Samantha Bee of The Daily Show, Kerry Kenny Silver of Reno 911, Paul F. Tompkins of Mr. Show, SpongeBob SquarePants and the Sarah Silverman Program, Michael Ian Black of The State, and the Queen of Mean herself, Ms. Lisa Lampanelli. That's the Risk All-Star episode on iTunes in the albums section. This is Being Gone by Poison Control Center. And today is the day, folks. Take a risk.